Visuaalisen viestinnän tekijät ohjelmaan tarjoaa Grafia. Löydä huippusuunnittelija grafia.fi kautta tekijät.
Oh yeah, viikograafikko. Visuaalisen viestinnän maagikko. Vastaukset antaa kirjasto. Hän on todellakin viikograafikko.
It's a beautiful day here at the Graphic Design Headquarters because today we will be chatting with Chris Bell. Welcome, Chris.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And to those who have been listening to us before, you probably noticed something's different. And the one thing is we're speaking in English today because we want to deep dive into all things Chris. And while you, Chris, obviously know a little bit or quite a bit of Finnish by now, you know, it just makes it easier if we take this in English.
Yes.
And for those not knowing who Chris Bell is, I've compiled some Bell facts for you. So let me see if I got this right. You studied communication design at the Hochschule Trier in Germany.
Yes.
Then at some point you came to Finland to do a work placement at Kokoramoi, and this was back in 2011. And since then you worked at several places and now work as an in-house designer at a company called Data Crunch. And you live in Helsinki with your lady partner, who just happens to be Graphic Designer of the Year 2018, Inga Bell.
Yes, almost correct. There was a small detour via the UK to Brighton. So
sure, we'll get to that in a moment. But this was my little summary. But you actually sent me your own summary in an email, which I want to read out. And it goes a little bit something like this. As the husband of the graphic designer of the year 2018, Chris Bell is uniquely qualified on the topic of design. He sees design not as a standalone discipline, but as a piece of something. This big picture approach extends to his views on life and politics, and notably to his controversial belief that artificial intelligence and technology might be a force for good. And we'll get to that AI controversy in a bit. But yes, tell me about the detour and how you ended up at Kokoramoi.
The detour was that I think part of my studies.
So you were happy student at Hochschule Trier.
Don't want to offend anyone, but I think studying design is always something that really depends on the professors you have. And I think in that case, in that year, I was maybe not blessed. So I felt like, okay, need a change of scenery and did this internship and went to Brighton. So.
And how long had you been doing your course for at this point?
It was, I think, a bit more than 2 years.
Two years.
I was quite far, learning a lot about, you know, pink is for ladies and blue is for boys.
Was it seriously like that?
It was seriously like that.
No way.
I think I got quite bad grades in a lot of subjects simply because I wanted to experiment a bit more. But I think in Germany the system is also, this was not a university but a Hochschule, which is sort of like a applied science.
Right.
Kind of.
So not quite the college. It's more like a, yeah.
Applied. It is a kind of a lower university,
yes,
in that sense. So a lot of the staff employed there necessarily is not, they're not professors. So it can be that some of these people are like actual printmakers. So I was learning magazine layout from someone.
Right. So a bit like ammattikorkeakoulu maybe in Finland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
But that's good for practical skills.
I think it is, but I think it really depends on the professors you have, how they let you experiment, how they push you, and I think the match was just not there. So I went to England. I always wanted to live there, in Brighton specifically, and I got like an internship there, so I happily went there.
And this is because you're half English, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I know the city, I've been there, so I always wanted to live there. I grew up with like two identities, never knew what I was, moved there, immediately knew I'm German, so.
Did they go like, what's this crazy accent you have there, Chris, or?
I think my accent is a bit mixed. My father has a very soft accent, so I think like no one really knows. I don't hear it, of course, at all. But no, they were like, okay, or maybe it was me noticing that, like, these specific stereotypes that people have towards Germans, they just came out.
I see a lot of reels, comedy reels, about Germans behaving a certain way. And it's always about being a bit, little bit stingy and maybe wearing sandals. But was it stuff like that then?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, that's funny though.
Yeah, it was. And it was like, no, it was clear, like, I like precision. I like things to kind of have their place, order. So, yeah, maybe it was that. I mean...
But these are good things if you're a graphic designer, right?
I would say yes.
Yeah, come on. Like, clean Swiss graphic design is the thing. So that sounds exactly like what you're doing.
Yeah, I would say so.
Anyway, I mean, you did this workplace in Brighton. You mastered the art of eating fish and chips and having pints then. And
I did not drink alcohol back then. So I think that was a reason why I then also kind of... I didn't really, like, fit in. I felt like it was a bit more difficult not studying in a city, but moving there and not having the ability to kind of go for a beer with people was limiting somehow. And I felt like maybe, like, specific culture there was more geared towards that. So, I never really felt at home.
What was this workplace meant? What was the company you were... doing?
It was Red Design. Kind of back then relatively known, I think. They don't exist anymore, but I think they're mostly known for music and record covers. Fatboy Slim. They work with Skinned Records and yeah.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, sounds like they were doing quite well back in the day then.
They were, until I came. I think it was nothing to do with me, but I think it was 2 weeks after I arrived, they were like, we're going insolvent.
Oh, okay.
So we cannot pay you.
No, well, that's not ideal.
It wasn't ideal at all. I had already spent like this, I think it was Leonardo was the European kind of system.
Where you're telling
me. It's like Erasmus, but... you know, for internships. So I had spent that on like my insanely expensive flat. So I kind of had to like just stick it out, it was a blessing in disguise because I sort of moved up. They went insolvent, I think, one or two more times. And each time I moved up the ladder career-wise. So of course, I was cheap. They had to let designers go. And in the end, I got my own intern. And I wasn't even there for 3 years. So then I hired an intern to work with me because I was the only one left. So it was like a steep learning curve. And yeah.
Yeah, the fast career track if you're like a senior designer after 3 years.
Exactly, yes.
But then it all had to end.
It didn't have to end, but it did because I saw, I don't know, it was probably on some social media that Kokoro et Moi, which back then was like quite big.
And for those who don't know, this is a Finnish company founded by Teemu Suviala and...
Antti Hinkola.
Yes. And Teemu has since moved on to Meta and these places. And I interviewed him in this program in the spring. But that was your new home then?
It was. I think someone like Teemu couldn't make it. So I had like an interview with the back then... was a producer, and we accidentally wore the same shirt. So she was like, yeah, let's take that guy. And they were like, can you start in 2 weeks? And I was like, oh, okay, let's do this. And I came here.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty swift. I mean, you had this expensive flat in Brighton, and then you had to just let it go and find a new place here.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that wasn't a problem for Chris.
No, it wasn't. I mean, as said, I think like I was kind of working. The working culture there is a bit different than it is here
in the UK.
Yeah, so it was more like a 7 days a week, 7 to 10 sort of situation.
Ooh, okay, so you were sort of happy to get out.
Yeah, it was supposed to be a break, and I was supposed to go back there, or I wasn't sure, would I go back? I knew, like, maybe, like, the university that I had left was maybe not the place that I wanted to go back, so it was all a bit up in the air, but yeah, I felt at home in Finland immediately. I think the culture is a bit closer to what I'm used to from Germany.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and Red Design, for all we know, they might still be waiting for you to come back.
I don't think they exist.
Okay. Anyway, you got a position at Kokorat. Moi doing what then?
It was an internship during the World Design Capital. So
2012,
yeah. And yeah, so internship that then turned into a job because certain people left there, moved on. But yeah, it was a great place. I mean, I met like many people. It was completely different because I immediately had like a group of friends there that I could hang out with, and you know, that I guess that makes a place feel like home. Like if you have actual people that you interact with, and I found that there, so it was really nice.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously you're still here, so you liked the company, but you liked Finland, and eventually you met your lady partner. So I mean, that's a big part of it. But how long did you work for Kokorat Moi for then?
I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was around 3 years, maybe.
Okay.
And I had left 2 weeks then before actually Teemu announced that he would also leave. So it was around about the same time.
Okay. And what happened after that?
I went to Aivan.
Aivan?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
It's a company.
It's a company, right. Branding, advertising?
It was as a designer, I think. I'm not sure what the exact title was, but multidisciplinary. So I was in the graphic design department.
Sure. Doing?
Graphic design.
Graphic design. Yeah. Do you care to be more specific?
I actually don't know what I did in the beginning. Probably like a lot of everything.
I love these places.
Yeah, as a sort of junior-ish designer. I mean, they work a lot with boats. So there was like some boat designs. But I quickly moved on to Fiskars.
Okay, that I know.
Yeah, work with them, and then sort of bit by bit, together with back then my colleague Ulla Eronen, started to kind of work exclusively on Fiskars almost. And it kind of, I don't know, it got out of control, and it ended up being like, I think, almost 100% Fiskars for then many, many years.
Yeah, so mainly what, packaging design or...?
Packaging, and then all the point of sale stuff, and then because, of course, at some point the whole packaging concept and everything was mainly in my head, so it had to kind of be written down somewhere, so it went into guideline and concepts.
And yeah. At this point you were deeply embedded in the Finnish graphic design scene, because you had worked at the cool startup Kokorat Moi, and then at the very traditional Fiskars doing packaging design. But then you moved on from Fiskars as well.
I moved on from Fiskars / Aivan. Yeah, it was time, I guess. Also, I felt like a bit stuck, and I had like a friend who founded an AI startup, and it felt like a good opportunity to move into a more digital area because I was mainly a print designer, and it felt like maybe, you know.
This was like you moving from Brighton to Helsinki. You were like, I just need to do it. And then you went and did.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you get the opportunity, right, like there's a good kind of reason to actually then also take it. Because if I'd now apply for jobs wanting to be a digital designer, I'd have to start from zero.
Yes. And actually, now is the time I want to ask you about this controversial belief of you that artificial intelligence and technology might be a force for good, because you went to the startup AI company, and what was that like?
Well, it was first time not being within like a kind of creative bubble, so it was very different. So of course, working with people that are like more kind of tech or business focused, it's very different. Also, I think in general, kind of the importance of design suddenly significantly drops. So it's always behind something. Whereas, of course, if you work in an agency as a designer, it's always at the forefront of everything. So it's the thing that matters.
But they still felt they need a designer.
They felt they needed a designer. And I think that was also the idea that design could play a role in some way. And I think also more collaborative. So it's not like kind of blurting out an identity and then leaving it be with the client in that sense, but seeing it as sort of like a process. So you kind of, design is something that's never really finished. So it just develops and develops. So me being part of their team and working closely with them and building the brand bit by bit was sort of the idea.
I mean, to me, that sounds very fluid, as I know AI takes leaps every week and becomes something else. I guess, did that make it more difficult for you as a designer when everything was just evolving all the time?
I guess if we're talking about AI in this sense, this is more like sort of the back end of it. So, like kind of products, like the coding side of it. So for me, it actually helped a lot in the job. So it's a great tool if you're the only person, you have the ability to become this little agency. Because especially in digital design, you have so many kind of disciplines. And I'm just the visual designer. So there's like, I don't know, like 8 others missing. And it gave me a chance to kind of learn at a faster speed and also fill those other potential roles like copywriting and all of those things.
Okay. So on a more hands-on level, what did you actually do then at this company?
Well, specifically, I think if we're talking about AI, I think what it was a great tool for was, this was a small kind of startup. So basically, I am the design budget. So there's nothing besides me and my salary that goes into design. There's like some small marketing bits and pieces that could, you can spend money on. But in general, I am the budget. So I need to kind of work with what I have. So I tried to make my life easier. I kind of, instead of using stock footage, I just kind of developed like a prompt that kind of consistently creates images based on the brand. And I wanted to hand over that tool. So we started developing this tool where basically someone would take a blog post they had written, copy paste that into a tool. That tool compresses that into a shorter sentence, a sort of summary. And then on that summary develops ideas for a prompt, specifically an object. So if it's like computer vision, it's probably going to have something with like an eye. And then that gets sent to kind of a image generation program that then spits out like a handful of ideas that has on-brand images that just simply uses the brand colors. And because, you know, it has all these specific prompts, the visuality is always very, very similar. And that allowed like other people in the company to, you know, generate these images. So I could start trusting other people to be on brand, so to say.
Right. So it was kind of like a more complicated version of this Canva that people are doing now. Like, you got a template and you just, but on a more sort of technology level.
Yeah, I mean, I had people that were able to kind of help me with that, so then yes.
Yes. Yeah. Fantastic. We'll have a small break and carry on from here.
Visuaalisen viestinnän tekijät -ohjelmaan tarjoaa Grafia. Löydä huippusuunnittelija grafia.fi/tekijät.
This is Viikon Graafikko, aka Graphic Designer of the Week. I'm Kasper Strömman and I'm joined here by Chris Bell today. Hi again, Chris.
Hello.
And in this program, we have a segment called Logo of the Week, and allow me to play the little jingle for that one.
Nyt viikon graafikko raportoi, mikä viikon logossa inspiroi. Tältäkö tuntuu, kun paras ei riitä? Miksi niin hyvä? Kerro siitä.
So, Chris, I see you're thinking about logos.
Yeah, I didn't have one until now.
No, okay. You're quick. We know you're a fast mover. You can come up with something.
I think one that I keep coming back to that I really like is the Rimowa suitcase logo.
Right. Remind me what it looks like, or do I need to Google it?
It looks like not a logo at all, and I think that's what I also like about it. It's just very kind of simplified, and okay. It kind of references elements of the suitcase.
Okay, so I'm Googling it right now. They got a word mark, and then they have just a text saying Rimowa.
So, yeah, the word mark specifically.
Yes. Oh, that's very clean. There's not much going on here.
Yeah.
But that's what you like about it.
I think so, because it's sort of like, it is like a starting point for something. So, you know, no matter where they decide to go as a brand, I think this gives them the flexibility to also do that in the future. So it feels like it's not like a finished design, not in a negative way. So, of course, they finished it, but I think there's like flexibility within that design to kind of move somewhere. And I think that's like something that really appeals to me.
Yes. And I know we all know this is the direction most companies are heading these days. They want to make it simple as to branch out to other things if they ever felt like it. But have you looked into the history? Did they used to have, because I guess this is an old brand. Do you know if they had some kind of very ornamental logo back in the day?
No, I think it was very similar. It wasn't that. I remember that it was controversial when it was rebranded, I think maybe 2018.
Okay. I'm going to check out Rimowa old logo. And right, there seems to be quite a few, but they're all quite simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the one before that is a very distinct 90s. And I'm sure some people were sad that it had to go, but I think it was time.
You're talking about 1981 to 2018.
Yes, exactly.
It looks like Sega or Nintendo, or maybe like a gaming console.
Kind of like a suitcase.
Well, I mean, that suits you. Suitable. Yeah, well, very suitable. This is indeed a very beautiful logo. And now I'm looking at 1937, but that's not too bad either, is it? It's kind of like a ribbon that says Rimowa.
Yeah. But I think, like, again, like, where do you then reference that ribbon in the design? Like, what role does it play? And I think internally, for people having kind of to work with the brand, it just gives it another level. And in their case, I think there's no need for another level. So,
No. And I guess back in the day, you used to have leather straps and ribbons and whatnot on your suitcases. So I don't know how the design has changed, but they're known for their... Are there aluminium, maybe, the suitcases these days?
I think it's just insanely expensive aluminium suitcases.
Yeah, shiny, and they often look a bit dented when you see them at the airport. So they're not titanium, I know that. Fantastic logo, 100% agree, very beautiful. Let me show you mine one. You do know about Kaapeli Tehdas, a.k.a. the Cable Factory. They got a logo redesign a few years back, say 5 to 10 years ago. Have you seen this one?
Yes.
It's fantastic. It says Kaapeli Tehdas twice, but the texts are intertwined, thus forming a cable.
I would agree. I think it's great.
I mean, I'm speechless before this beauty, because there's even an animated version where the letters spin, and usually I'm against this kind of stuff, but it just works here as well.
Yeah, it simply works. And you know, they don't need anything else. I think with that strong element, whatever they use as a color, I mean, they could simply switch probably typeface overnight and no one would notice. So it gives them great flexibility. So yeah.
Yes, and this is designed by Bond. I don't know who, maybe a team at Bond. But I Googled this a little bit and there seems to be an international... following. I mean, people, I went to a site called Logos Word and everyone seems to love it. So again, very simple, but not overly simplified, because it got something going on.
Yeah, and yeah, just enough.
And the thing I love about logos like this is like they manage to weave in the meaning, like literally weave in the meaning into the word mark. So
Yeah, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel. I mean, it's a cable factory. It's in the name. Yeah.
Well done. I mean, this is... I'm just flabbergasted when I look like this. Who is this magician who knows how to design something like that? I couldn't do this. I mean, you probably could with your AI wizardy, but not me.
I don't think AI could do that, to be honest.
Too complicated. Only a human could achieve such feat.
At least so far, yes, yeah.
Yeah. It's great. Anyway, yeah, but about AI, you were at this AI startup, and that's where you learned how to love artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simple.
And we all know most people and designers, people in general, designers specifically, are maybe a bit wary, maybe a bit scared of this new scary technology, but not you.
No, I mean, change is constant. I think kind of the world is changing. If I look at like how design and my job has changed since, I don't know, I studied before 2010. So, you know, back then when you got to design like a website, someone said like, hey, I need a website. And then you were the designer, so you designed the website. It feels like now that's impossible. You need like a whole team of like other designers that each have their specific kind of... skill, and then they do the website. So no one would trust me to kind of do like a big corporate website anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know what's going on anymore. So do you need like an SEO expert? And
well, yeah, I mean, a lot more of that. It's so complex because there's so many moving parts suddenly kind of involved. So yeah, if I look at like where I started as a designer and where I am now, like I kind of always knew that will I be a 50-year-old kind of graphic designer? I was skeptical even when I studied, and I'm surprised so many people are surprised by that almost.
What like you're turning 50? Don't say that.
I'm not turning 50. No, I'm like far from. But
sure.
Like, do I have? Back then, did I see myself as someone working in design when I am 50? And I could not imagine. You know, like, I think the design scene is geared in a way that you stop progressing when you stop studying, sort of. I mean, you constantly learn, like, kind of small skills on top, but the pace at which stuff has changed, I think no one can really keep up. So for me, this AI gives older designers also an opportunity to catch up again. So it's kind of leveling the playing field in a way, because if you're a designer that has never worked with digital, no one's going to trust you with digital because you don't have the portfolio to maybe back it up. But maybe this will give you a head start and kind of learning those skills and having that as a companion. So I think because the change is constant and stuff has always changed, I think rather than being fearful of it, we can also embrace it also as a society. You know, there can be good things coming from it. And just brushing it aside as something bad can be worse.
Yeah, and I guess the same thing happened when Photoshop was first introduced in the, late 80s or, I don't know, the wheel was introduced. People were like, what's this madness? But as you say, it probably will weed this whole AI thing will weed out designers who are not willing to embrace this change.
Yeah. I mean, it's been like the technology has been doing that for a while now. So if someone doesn't adapt in a way, like if I refused to learn Photoshop, like, 15 years ago, I'm not sure where I would be. So I just had to do that. Do I know like a lot of programs that like people are using now? I do not. But does it help me to kind of like not having used some video program before? Does it help me to use that? And it does. So I just ask, hey, how do I do this? And it gives me a detailed instruction how I create like a video with some sort of program.
Yes, and I mean, before you could Google it and always get a YouTube video of someone showing you how to do, and now you get it even faster with the...
Yeah, I mean, it would still be like probably like 8-hour tutorials to probably master something. But if I want to do something very specific, it can give me exactly those instructions to kind of just do that. So I don't need to learn the tool and master it. I can just learn what I need to do in this specific moment.
Right. Do you think you had any use of your Hochschule years? Where you learned that pink is for girls and blue is for boys, even after all these years. I mean, do you still think you got some of the basic understandings of what design is by going to college? I'm asking before, I guess there's a young person out there thinking like, why bother going to school at all then if I can Google everything?
I think it's all about experience. And I think like the usual path is that you have to go through school to get your first internship, to get your first kind of position somewhere. So it's the progress. I would say that there's a handful of designers who are really, really talented, who, you know, they enter school and you can see like, okay, they're going to kind of do well. They have the magic touch. I did not have the magic touch maybe. So I think it's like experience. So I would say I have learned nothing specifically from my time at the university there. At least nothing comes to mind. It was purely the time I spent there. But after that time, I would say I did not end up anywhere. So it took like many, many years of kind of working in the field. Because it's not just like inspiration, like logo done. It's so much more kind of complex, especially when we're talking the packaging designs that I did for years. The logo needs to work consistently on like a small scissors packaging as well as like a large pan, and there needs to be a rule. So you need to think ahead, and that's, I think, mainly experience.
Yeah, but you're dedicated and you roll with the punches, and yes. that takes you far.
Yes.
I want to roll back the tape a bit and ask you, if there was a defining moment, say, in your childhood when you did become a graphic designer, when did you get aware of this fine craft?
I've been thinking about this. It was always that I kind of liked drawing. I loved like drawing comics. I think if I would kind of romanticize it and pinpoint one moment, it would go back to a drawing competition in second grade.
Who organized it? The school or...?
I think it was a local bank that organized
Fantastic.
It.
Fantastic.
Yes. And yeah, I still have that picture. Yeah, it's hideous, but...
So did you win the competition?
I won. I'm not sure. Maybe it's like, maybe I got second. Maybe in my head, I won. Let's say I won.
And what was this specific work of art about?
It was a pirate ship.
That sounds fantastic, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think at least I think it was because it has sort of like an abstract flag.
And very suitable for a bank as well.
That is true. I've never thought.
They didn't about think that. About it. maybe they can revoke it after all these years.
I'm not with them anymore, so I don't mind. I move banks.
So that was You won the pirate ship competition. Do you remember your first official or semi-official job, which you did as a for someone as a real job?
As a real job? I mean, like, because I was kind of creative and I kind of learned the programs quite early on, even before studying, I guess I did some logos for friends very, very early on.
Okay.
But first job, probably a handful of logos at Red Design. I learned a lot there from, like, the lead design there because I was only working with him. And it must have been something there.
Yeah. When you look back at these old things you did, do you feel a sense of shame or are you still proud of them?
No, I think, yeah. I mean, visually, maybe I would not put them on my portfolio, but a lot of the stuff I think was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you have some kind of core design principle in you or understanding of what things should look like.
Or some forgiveness because, you know, it was done back then with the context of me knowing those skills back then, so I'm totally fine with it.
You were young and you needed the money.
Exactly.
I get it. Hey, we'll have a little break and we'll continue with our hot take.
Hyvä suunnittelu näkyy ja kuuluu. Viikon graafikon tarjoaa Grafia.
This is Viikon Graafikko, a.k.a. Graphic Designer of the Week. I'm Kasper Strömman. I'm sitting here with graphic designer Chris Bell. And Chris, now is the time for... wait a minute, this one.
Hot take. Se on meidän motto. Suomeksi hot take on tietty kuuma otto.
Kuuma Otto, a.k.a. Hot Take, and may we have your hot take, Mr. Bell?
Okay, yeah, it's a literal hot take, and it's been like following me around, and I think it also describes like a lot of aspects in life. It's okay to drink decaf coffee.
It probably is okay to drink decaf coffee. I've never tried, but I hear you. It could be a good late night beverage.
Yeah, I've been getting like a lot of heat for this opinion. So I think maybe especially in this country, people are shocked that why would you kind of not want the effect of the coffee, but just the taste. So there's this like either or aspect within the answer that I feel people automatically have to take aside. And in their life, they are on the caffeine side, maybe.
Have you had this struggle for many years?
I think, yeah. So, like the studio that I've been at when I was like a freelancer, also we had like this 3 o'clock decaf session. And of course, if you have people visiting, you ask them, and you cannot lie because you know they would kill you if you'd serve them decaf coffee without them knowing. But there is a simple question: hey, do you want some decaf coffee? And the amount of perplexity, shock, or that you see in people's faces, like yeah.
I'm thinking: has that changed though recent years when everyone has become sober curious?
Not in my experience. Okay. I mean, in general, I'm pretty sure it's been more accepted. And I guess also like one problem was that like mostly they taste bad.
Yes.
But I have found some good ones that at least I cannot distinguish with my palate from a real coffee.
But I just read last week that when people have a coffee, half of it is just placebo. Like, you know you're going to get refreshed. You know you're going to get a little bit more alert. And even this was an actual scientific test they did. They gave people, half of people decaf, half people caffeine. And it worked really well, even with the decaf, when they didn't know about it.
I can imagine. I mean, it's probably also highly individual. So, I mean, I to be honest, I don't know if it affects me really, but do I want to risk it? No.
But it's like when you have a alcohol-free beer. I mean, you still get that, you know, if, like you almost feel like you're getting a little kick out of it.
Yeah, I think the controversial thing about it is more like that people are immediately on one side. And I think that's a general kind of symptom that like there is little gray zones in any sort of discussion. So just a simple thing like, hey, do you want some decaf coffee? A lot of people have this like gut reaction that they're not like, do I want decaf coffee? It's an immediate no. God, no.
You know what we need to do? We need to start a movement, like decaf curious movement.
Yeah, we've been thinking about t-shirts to kind of have a spin on like the whole kind of... decaf is life.
I'm thinking podcast. I'm thinking
decaf podcast.
I don't know, a YouTube series or something. Yeah. Like, let's make it happen. Let's make it trendy. Let's make it sexy.
Yes.
To drink decaf.
I'm going to be the spokesperson for that.
I'm going to join you on this hill and die on it. Thank you, Chris. 100% agree with you. And I'm going to have some decaf for the first time in my life when we leave the studio. Okay, here's one, my hot take. New cars do not need to project their logo on the ground when you open a door. Have you encountered this? Not all new cars do it. But when you rent a car now, or so your friend has a new car, you open the door and then it just projects a Volkswagen sign on the ground.
Yeah, I've seen it. I was very impressed when I saw it first time. But I would agree that it's not necessary. It seems, my car does that, but it's an abstract light.
That's
it's
good.
It's like some shape.
Yes.
And I keep thinking, like, is it trying to tell me something?
What kind of shape is that then?
Yeah, is it like, is this like, you know, how far I can open the door? So I kind of start interpreting something into it. So it's kind of wasting a lot of my resources. So I would fully agree that where be it a logo or something else, it's completely pointless.
I Googled it yesterday. Apparently, they're called puddle lights, so you don't step in a puddle when it's dark. Or welcome lights. And as you say, if it's just a bright light, that's perfect. But I think this is branding gone too far. That you actually need to see, I don't know, a Skoda logo when you open the door. Like, I get it. It's a Skoda. I don't care. Just, I don't know, illuminate my feet, but don't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
Because it was like, you know these new taxis, these electric Mercedes, the black ones that looks a little bit boxy. I was looking at the dashboard and it had tiny, tiny Mercedes logos all over. And I'm like, tacky, you know, it doesn't work for me. Just give me a clean dashboard. Don't overdo it, because these are premium brands and they don't need to rub it in your face that you're driving a Mercedes.
It also feels like a complete waste of resources at that point, especially with the light.
Maybe, I mean, you are an AI expert. Maybe we could hack them so they say something when you step into the car. I don't know what it would be. Maybe like nice
I'm not
shoes.
Sure we even need AI for that.
No, we don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Just open your eyes and check if there's a puddle.
Yeah, or maybe just have a little flashlight in your hand when you step into the car. Or use your phone. Use the torch on your phone to watch.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but that's my hot take this week. You know, if you roll up and it says Dacia underground when I step into a car, that's pointless. We don't need that.
No.
Anyway, back to you. Have you ever thought about what you would do if you weren't a graphic designer?
Yeah, I have. And I have no idea.
You have no idea?
No.
Okay. Can we just workshop it now and come up with ideas for you?
I guess we can. I'm really kind of bad at sitting down and learning something. So I always felt that maybe studying something is kind of, you know, studying medicine. Like, I don't think I would have gone very far.
Mm.
I do like kind of seeing bigger picture in things. So I guess kind of studying something very broad and then going into consulting could be something.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one. Also, have you messed up design-wise royally at any point?
Not royally.
No. Even a little bit.
I mean, the usual, like you produce something, it doesn't arrive, like something breaks.
The colors are slightly off, maybe.
They are always off.
Okay.
I mean, yes, they are always off, but no, it's not in my hand. It's not me fucking up royally, it's someone else.
Yes.
So I don't think so. But then, you know, like, who knows? Because it's a process. So if a company that I've been working for goes like insolvent or bankrupt, maybe it was me. I don't know. Time will tell.
Exactly. So are you especially proud of something you have done then? What's your magnum opus?
Also a very good question.
Yeah. I mean, you can suck on that one if you want to, but
I think if I would be proud of something, it is the approach that I've like kind of started to form, which is very, very pragmatic when it comes to design. So I think design, as said, it should develop. So if I design something, I should not design it for the now, but I should also design it for the future. So kind of thinking ahead, like how will it be used? How could it be used? Who are the people kind of working with it? All these aspects kind of putting those into the mix when I actually create like an identity, I think that is something that maybe I'm not proud of, but kind of I'm happy with this approach that like I'm taking towards design.
Yes. I also want to get back to this thing you said earlier about the design climate being more in tune with Germany here than in the UK. So what I mean is, I always thought we have this international style these days and everything looks similar everywhere. But do you feel there's different approaches to design in, say, these three countries you've experienced?
I've never worked in Germany.
No.
I've worked with German companies, but never within Germany. So I have very little insight into any sort of German design.
But you grew
scene.
Up there, so you looked around and...
Yeah, but then design scenes are very specific. But I think if I look at designers, they are so highly individual. I guess there is a difference in the structured approach that like maybe a lot of UK graphic designers are more on the emotional side of design. So there's like a lot of like, hey, just let's just sit down, let it come to us. Where else I think like the Nordic or like kind of Northern European approach would be very structured.
The data driven maybe. I mean, I like people love numbers, don't they? They want to crunch the numbers before they do anything, I've noticed.
Yeah. I mean, but that's probably the same everywhere. I could imagine that just being like, you know, if your client loves numbers, you're going to have to justify it. I think that's a general problem of the design field. It's very hard to prove stuff. So someone saying like, this logo sucks, you kind of, I mean, the point of
They're
the logo
right.
is... They might be right, but the point of the logo is to kind of make money. So then you kind of in the end have to look at like the money the company makes. But then is that due to the logo or other stuff? Can it ever be answered? Very difficult question.
Yeah. If you had to look into your little crystal ball, where do you think graphic design is heading as an industry?
I think I can say that I do not know. I think... I would have a wish that more kind of designers would embrace technology in general a bit more, just because I feel like technology is often left to people that have non-progressive causes. So if we look at the internet, all of these technologies, I think the progressive side and also design has been lacking in enthusiasm. And I think we can use like these technologies also for good, but we need the actual people to care about it and push it and not push it into a corner and say like it's per se bad. It has bad parts, it has good parts. So I think embracing the technology a lot more, that would be like a wish at least.
Yes. I was also going to ask if you have any tips for someone just, say, maybe studying graphic design at the moment or entering the industry, but would that be roughly the same then, embrace technology?
Yeah, and not only focus on like the visual part. I think as designers, because we're embedded into cultures, we need to kind of know about those cultures. So I think a general knowledge about almost everything is really important. And I think that was also lacking when I studied, I guess, politics. It's important because it's part of like where you live and knowing the situation, it can influence a lot of things. So very, very broad knowledge is really important when it comes to design.
Yeah, big picture.
Big picture. I mean, the world is growing together. It's becoming more and more complex. So the broader the knowledge, I feel, the better it is.
Wise words. We're running out of time slowly, but before we run out into the sunshine, is there anything you would like to recommend to our listeners? I like maybe a film, a good book you read, computer game.
Okay, I'll go with computer games because I've been really impressed with one I'm playing, which is Death Stranding 2. And I think the level of design that has gone into that game is mind-blowing. There's like graphic design, of course there's sound design, character design, there is fashion design, and it's just so detailed on all levels that it's just a masterpiece.
On which platform is this?
PlayStation. I think it's an exclusive, but basically you're like a delivery driver. So you just run around and deliver packages, and that's all it is. So
that sounds not tempting, but I guess it is.
That's what I thought, but yeah. Yes, trust me.
I'm going to trust you on this one. Chris Bell, thank you for being here today, giving us insights into the AI world and giving us sound advice on how to embrace the big picture in the world. Next week, we'll have someone else here. That will also be interesting. Until then, bye.
Bye.
Hän on luovuuden haulikko, viikon graafikko. Hän ei ole mikään utuvikko, viikon graafikko. Hän on visuaalinen maagikko, viikon graafikko. Tietä mikä on apinalaatikko, viikon graafikko. Hän on viikon graafikko.
Hyvä suunnittelu näkyy ja kuuluu. Viikon graafikon tarjoaa Grafia.